The lectionary passage for this, fourth Sunday in Lent, is a curious one. It finds the disciples walking down the street, coming upon a man blind from birth. Though Jesus heals him, it comes not from a request from the blind man himself, but upon a question from the disciples themselves. So I invite you to listen as I read this passage, or at least a portion of this passage, as translated by Eugene Robinson in The Message. Beginning of the 9th chapter. Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?" Jesus said, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do." He said this and then spit in the dust, made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes, and said, "Go wash at the pool of Siloam," which means sent. The man went and washed and saw. Soon the town was buzzing. His relatives and those who year after year had seen him as a blind man begging were saying, "Why, isn't this the man we knew who sat here and begged?" Others said, "It's him, all right." But others objected, "It's not the same man at all. It just looks like him." The man said, "It's me, the very one." So they asked him, "How did your eyes get opened then?" "A man named Jesus made a paste and rubbed it on my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' I did what he said. When I washed, I saw." "So where is he then?" "I don't know," the man answered. They took this man to the Pharisees. Now the day when Jesus made the paste and healed his blindness was the Sabbath. The Pharisees grilled him again on how he had come to see. He said, "He put a clay paste on my eyes and I washed and now I see." The Jews didn't believe it, didn't believe the man was born blind to begin with. So they called the parents of the man now bright-eyed with sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, the one you say was born blind? So how is it now that he sees?" His parents said, "We know he is our son, and we know that he was born blind, but we don't know how he came to see. Haven't a clue about who opened his eyes. Why don't you ask him? He's a grown man and can speak for himself." They called the man back a second time, the man who had been born blind, and told him, "Give credit to God. We know this man," meaning Jesus, "is an imposter." The man replied, "I know nothing about that one way or the other, but I know one thing for sure. I was blind. Now I see." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Each of us has been affected in some way this week by the tragic and untimely death of one of our own, Jan Houston Pryor. Out walking her dog this past Tuesday morning, something many gathered here do on a regular basis, struck by a car and killed. And our hearts grieve for Jonathan, her husband, for her children and grandchildren, her siblings, her entire family. And we find ourselves asking that familiar yet never answered question, why? Indeed, in one of the responses I received from a member of this congregation upon receiving the email I sent out sharing the news of Jan's death comes the title for our sermon this morning. "It's horrible," this person wrote. "Where is the sense in this? Where is the sense in this?" That's a question I've been thinking a lot about in the past few days, and it made me think of other instances where the same question was asked. Where is the sense in this? And it made me think about the deaths in this congregation in the short 10 years that I have been here. While all deaths are difficult and cause grief and pain and sadness, not all deaths are tragic. In fact, some deaths are even welcome, as when someone who has lived a good long life and is now suffering, and death comes as a welcome relief. But not so with others. Not so with Tom Carberry or Eric Romer or Dan Beach or Philip Darrow or Bill Glenn or Bob Post or Bill Payne or Dory Fry or Henry Donnelly or Tommy Page or now Jan Houston Pryor. Indeed, each of us, as we live our lives, come face to face with certain situations which cause much anguish and bewilderment, situations which tear a hole in our hearts, situations which cause us to wonder and doubt, which cause us to cry out to God, where is the sense in this? In light of untimely death, does the Christian faith have anything to say? Tragedy, sorrow, suffering? Is there a word to us from God concerning this matter? Yes, the Christian faith does speak. And curiously, on the one hand, the Christian faith speaks by not speaking, by not offering an explanation to tragedy. Many would suggest that untimely death is simply the will of God, a suggestion to which I personally take exception. In The Plague, Albert Camus describes the conflict between a doctor and a priest about this very question. The priest taught that tragedies were the will of God and should be accepted as such. The doctor, however, vehemently disagrees. If this is the God we worship, the doctor says, one who wills disease and death, then I'll cast my lot with the devil and fight God on my way through hell. Christianity offers no cheap or facile explanation for the tragedies of life. There really is no sense in this. But surely that is not all that the Christian faith has to say, and by all means it is not. While the Christian faith speaks by not offering an explanation, on the other hand, the Christian faith offers a power to face tragedy. The Christian faith offers the power to face suffering and sorrow, the power to bear them, the power to come through them, the power to transform them so that the tragedy of a cross becomes a crown. When Jesus was on the earth in the body, he healed the sick. God in Christ did not and does not desire that persons suffer hurt and pain and illness. Why else did Jesus heal? Why did he alleviate pain and suffering? Why else did he care for those who were sick? In Scripture, we just read of Jesus healing the man born blind. Quite clearly, Jesus did not think sickness and illness and untimely death, remember the raising of Lazarus, to be the will of the Creator, our loving parent. If he considered them to be the will of God, why would he seek to reverse God's will? Quite clearly, he thought them to be quite the opposite. In fact, in his life, he helped people overcome these very things. It's like Jesus looks at a situation and says, it's not supposed to be this way. And it's not. It's not supposed to be this way. But we live in a broken world where disease and untimely death are unfortunately very much a part of our lives. When the rug is pulled out from under you, the Christian faith gives power to face the present. When there seems to be no hope, the Christian faith gives power in the hope midst of a hopeless situation. In the midst of tragedy, when all strength is gone, the Christian faith offers the power to face one day at a time. When all seems lost, it is the Christian faith that provides the oomph to go on living. Friends, when meeting tragedy head on, the Christian faith does speak. It speaks by not offering an explanation to tragedy, by not offering an easy way out like it must have been God's will. The Christian faith speaks by saying, I do not know why this tragedy happened, but I do know that when on earth Jesus alleviated pain and suffering. Not only, you see, is it our calling to do what we can do to relieve the pain and suffering of others, but we also must reassure those who suffer themselves that their situation is not the result of an angry and vengeful God. Many of you are here this day, not through your own power, not because you have an easy explanation to suffering and sorrow. You are here. You carry on in life day after day because God in Christ has provided and continues to provide you with power, power to bear tragedy and go on living. So in the midst of tragedy, as hard as it is, let us be grateful that the faith we have in Jesus Christ offers us a power to face tragedy and move through it triumphantly. And let us cling to that faith. Personally, that is one of the reasons the Christian faith appeals to me. I don't want cheap, facile answers to the inexplicable events of life, but I do need a power to move through them. Indeed, have you even ever considered where the impulse to respond to tragedy derives? The Pryor family have been overwhelmed by the outpouring of compassion and support. Where did that impulse that drove some of you to wait in a line 2.5, 3 hours yesterday to greet this family? Where do you think that impulse to do comes from? Surely it comes from the God impulse implanted in each of us, the God impulse that mirrors God's own response to suffering, one of compassion and heartache, the desire to express one's grief and support and aid in healing. Friends, thanks be to God that for those who seek God's strength, God provides power to confront tragedy, transforming that cross into a crown. Praise be to God that it is so. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you that in Jesus Christ you have shown us a power stronger even than death. May we cling to that power. May we rest in that power. The power to heal, the power to save, the power to transform. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.